Hey podcast, today we've got a powerful message from Pastor Sam Evans titled The Best There Is, The Best There Was, and The Best There Ever Will Be. Before we jump into it, check out some brand new music available today.
What's up everybody, Joth here from Planet Shakers. Are you ready for some new music? Planet Shakers' brand new album, Over It All. Check it out today. Stream it now. Planet Shakers, Over It All.
Well, the title of my message today, maybe I should explain it, but the title is The Best There Is, The Best There Was, and The Best There Ever Will Be. And actually, of course, it talks about Jesus, but this was a statement made by a famous wrestler. And today I'm going to talk about wrestling with God, and then we are going to get ready for some slamming down. Are you ready to wrestle? Anyway, I want to look at the life of Jacob, and I want to find inspiration from his life. And, you know, this is what I so love about the Bible. I don't know if you love this about the Bible, but I love the fact that you can read the pages of people's lives that lived thousands of years before us, and yet what they experienced, what they walked through, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's me. See, really, we haven't changed that much. Humanity hasn't changed. The experiences that we have, you know, they're pretty much the same over and over again. But the great news is that it's been written in these pages that we can find inspiration and encouragement from these incredible men and women of God that are just ordinary people like us, making the same dumb mistakes as us. Oh, no, sorry, that's just me. And seeing his life and seeing what God has done in his life surely should stir us today as well. And if you're watching online, I want it to stir you as well. I want us to get desperate before God today. I want us to be like Jacob, and we are going to wrestle with God until we see this breakthrough. And if we look over the life of Jacob, we see he's an interesting kind of a fella. He was the guy who convinced his brother to sell him his firstborn birthrights for a bowl of lentil stew. I don't really love lentils, so for me it's like, ew. But obviously Esau loved lentils so much. Anyone else love lentils that much? I got no, I don't have any yeses here. Anyway, this is this guy, and he's the one who also dressed up like his brother, you know, put hair on his arm so his poor dying father, who can't see very well, thinks that, oh, that's the firstborn, and gives him the firstborn blessing. So this guy, he's, you know, he's a little bit of a deceiver. He's a little bit of a worker around getting stuff for himself. But what I love about Jacob is the fact that he is going to go for the best. There's something inside of him, even though he was the second born, even though he didn't have big muscles like his brother, he did not settle for the second-rate, second-born birthright. He wanted to work out a way where he could be blessed. And so today, this is what I want to stir within us. I don't want us to shrink back and go, oh, well, I don't deserve that. No, none of us deserve it. Let's just get over that. None of us deserve it. Jacob didn't deserve it, but in his heart, he went for it. He went after it. And that's what I want to stir within us. A spirit that says, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to go after the blessing of God, the favor of God, the miracles of God. I'm going to stir myself up because I know who my God is, and I know he's going to bless me. So can I stir that within you today? Oh, I am so blessed to preach in front of an audience today. Thank you. There's been so many times when I've looked in a camera and done it by faith. So, oh, thank the Lord. You have no idea how this blesses me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good. So we're going to look at Jacob, and he has this encounter as he leaves his home. So he has stirred up a big mess in stealing his brother's birthright, and so he's off to his uncle's house and he's going to find a wife there. And as he's on this journey towards his uncle's house, because there's a big family mess at home. Anyone have those kind of big family messes at home? Anyway, off he goes. He has this first encounter. And so let's look at this in Genesis 28. We're going to start at verse 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east and to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." Next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, even though it was previously called Luz, because Jacob made this vow: "If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I've set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me." I could preach a whole sermon on that and more. An amazing encounter that Jacob has. This encounter where God gives him a promise. He's reinforcing generational promise. I want us to understand too that we sit under generational promises. The word of God remains the same. It does not change. His promises are yes and amen. And so when God was speaking over Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, he was speaking over us Planet Shakers. He has promised us he's going to make our descendants as numerous as the dust on the earth, and God is going to bless us, and he's going to bless us abundantly. This is the promise that we sit under and the promises that Jacob sat under. And after this incredible encounter, he moves into his destiny where he finds his wife. In fact, he finds two wives and has a few servant wives as well. And oh my goodness, let's not talk about that right now. But that was a struggle for sure. He works for the hand of Rachel, but gets Leah instead and then gets Rachel. And oh, praise God, you got two wives. Yeah, be blessed. Multiplication, fruitfulness. Anyway, he's blessed. And he finds himself for 20 years working for his uncle, his father-in-law. He's working there for 20 years. And when I read this earlier, maybe just a couple of months ago, I was struck by the fact that it was 20 years and that we're living in 2020. And it's been the... Honestly, what can you say about this year? I can hardly get the vocab out of my mouth. This year has been challenging. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? It stinks. Anyway, we'll move on. But this is where God began to speak to me about 20 and about what happened to Jacob after this 20 years. And this is where I want to stir an excitement with us, that after 20 years, he gets up and decides, I'm moving out of what had become a captivity. Because what happened with Laban, his uncle starts to move the goalposts. Okay, you can have this if you work for 7 years, but then he moves that goalpost. And so for 20 years, he's living with a man who will not let him kick the goal, will not let him reach the goal. And so I can imagine that for 20 years, there would be frustrations. Great, I've worked for 7 years. Oh, surely the breakthrough is here. No, you've got to work another 7 years. Oh, after another 7 years, surely there's breakthrough. I know that I can be released. But what started off as a blessing started to captivate him, started to hold him back, started to confine him. And then one day he said, enough is enough. I've got to get out of this captivity. Today we've got to get out of a captivity. Yes, God has blessed us, but it's time for us to leave. Goodbye. Say goodbye. Leave and never return to a land of captivity. We have got to come back to what God has called us to be. When God first birthed Planet Shakers, he said, you're going to be a soul-winning movement. You're going to win cities. And the cash cry was our city, our nation, and the nations of the world. That's what we are called to do. We're called to be soul winners. And over this time, it's like we've been shut down in our ability to win souls. Well, enough is enough. We're moving out of that limitation of winning souls. We're going to step into a revival, and we're going to step into winning a city. We were also birthed in this supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And as I was preparing this message, I started to recall the moments when we would gather in this auditorium and the power of God was so rich and so thick and so incredible that it caused a revival to be poured out in the hearts and lives of young people. And if I look back in time and I see the incredible move of God and the incredible spark that was ignited at Planet Shakers, and how we saw signs and wonders and miracles, how thousands of people in one go would experience such a powerful encounter with God, that there'd be people on the floor, people are encountering God with the fire of God on them. It was so powerful. But that's our call. And so maybe where there's been a captivity, a holding back, a shutting down of that, a restraint of that, it's time to get out of that captivity. And also this incredible, tangible presence of God. It's always been with us, church, but there is so much more. We cannot be confined any longer. God wants to pour out his spirit. I know he's moving right now. I know he's warming your heart. I know the fire is starting to burn in your body. We've also been a church of this atmosphere of dreams and visions and these entrepreneurial ideas and dreams for a great family and a great future. This is what God has touched us with. This is who we are, Planet Shakers. To win our city, our nation, and the nations of the world, not to be confined to just Melbourne, but to go into all of the world. This is who we are. And so today, I want us to just take steps like Jacob first got up and he stepped out in boldness. He doesn't even ask his father, can I go? He just says, everyone, pack up your stuff. We're going. We don't need to ask the permission of fear if we can leave fear behind. We don't have to ask the permission of addiction, can I leave you behind? You know, can I go now? We don't have to ask oppression if I can go now. We don't have to ask lack or poverty, can I go now? We don't have to ask hurt, can I go now? We don't have to ask our past, can I go now? No, we got to just get up and say, I'm leaving you. It's time. I have served you long enough. I've been oppressed by you long enough. I've done my best long enough. I'm gonna step out into all that God has got for me. It's time for us to break free of the confinement of our hearts, break free of the confinement in our minds, and step out into what God has called us. We are Planet Shakers. We are called to make a difference in this world. Come on, it's time. to get up out of the restriction. You know, I think about it, you know, when we first were able to have, you know, 20 people at Boom, and some kids couldn't come because parents were a little bit nervous, just a few little parents nervous. Oh, get out of that fear. We have prayed as a church, and I give God all the glory. We have prayed for zero cases in Victoria. We've got zero cases in Victoria. For 2 weeks. Like, come on. To me, that is God moving on our behalf. So today we are going to leave behind some stuff. But then Jacob moves out to face one of his biggest fears. So he left his home with a big mess. He had obviously hurt and messed up a relationship with his brother. And so now he's going to come back home. But he's living under a promise. God said, I'm going to bless you. Come on, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you in everything you do. So he's living under a promise. Maybe he forgot. Do we do that? Do we forget when God has promised us something? Have we forgotten that he has declared over us acceleration? And we see in this story here an acceleration to his blessing, an acceleration to a homecoming. And when God says it, he does it. End of story. And that's why, you know, people would say to me through this time, you know, how can you keep going? I'm like, I just got to keep believing God at his word because he's never let me down. When he says it, he does it. It might not work out the way that I formulated in my head, but God's ways are higher than my ways and he does it. So I just let him do it. I just sit back and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I believe, I believe, I believe you said it. I believe you'll work it all for good. I believe that it will come to pass. I believe your promises are true. I believe your word is a yes and amen. And so here we see Jacob, and he's worked out a plan. You know, he's obviously a planner. He worked out a plan how he's going to, you know, confront his brother, and, you know, maybe we'll just do half. Half of us will go, and half of us, at least if he attacks that half, you know, the other half. Anyway, he's worked out a plan, not realizing that God is into restoration, that God said, I'm going to bring you back to the land of your fathers. I'm not going to bring you back and then I'm going to kill you. No, it's I'm going to bring you back and bless you. You're going to become a great nation. Sometimes we just got to reinforce and remind ourselves of the promises of God when that fear starts to grip us, and we got to get the plans out. Get the plans. Come on. What are we going to do? What's the contingency plan? What's the what if plan? God, his word, that's the what if plan. Genesis 32, let's read these verses 22 to 32. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel because you have fought with God and with man and have won." Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon, near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. You know, when I read this recently, and you know, you read scripture over and over, but then all of a sudden, you know, it just leaps off the page at you. When it says, when the man saw that he would not win the match, I went, hang on a minute. This is God saying to a man, when he saw he would not win, I was so stirred, church. I was like, oh God, there obviously within Jacob was such a tenacity that God knew, I'm not going to convince this guy. I'm not going to overpower him. Such was the fire within his spirit that he was going to wrestle with God until he got the blessing. That's what I want us to have as a people, as a group of people that would call themselves Planet Shakers. I want us deep within us to say, God, we are going to wrestle and wrestle and fight and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle until you bless me. I want God to have the same response to us, that there is a people that would never let me go. They're not going to relent. They're not going to hold back until I pour out my spirit, until I save a city. Come on, Planet Shakers. Oh, this is what I want us to have. Oh, come on, let the fire of the Holy Spirit ignite that flame within you today. Let it burn deep within your spirit that you will not let him go. Bless my family. Bless my future, God. Bless my city. Bless my going in and coming out. The other way around. We've got to have him bless us. We've got to have him fulfill his word. This is so incredible. That a man would prevail with God and win. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me, or unless you bless me. This is going back to something that was in Jacob's nature, wasn't it? Always wanting the blessing. But too many of us sit with our insecurities and our low self-image and think, God, I'm not good enough. I dare not ask for my city. I dare not ask for my family to be the most prosperous family in the whole planet. We shrink back and judge ourselves and criticize ourselves and analyze ourselves and say, instead of saying, you know what, God, you've paid a price with your precious blood. You have justified me. You have made me worthy because your son has made me worthy. And now I'm going to ask like a son asks. I'm going to ask like Jacob asked. And he asked for the number one blessing, for the firstborn blessing. I'm not going to ask for a mediocre blessing. I'm not going to ask for a second-rate blessing. I'm going to ask for the number one, the highest kind of blessing over my life. Come on, Planet Shakers. Let's demand of our God. Let's ask as children of the Most High. And he asked for more. He was always asking for more. Even when he started multiplying the flocks, when he was with Laban, he just devised a way for him to be blessed. And then the last thing before we spend some time praying. He says, you will be called Israel because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Wow. See, this reminds me of what happened in the New Testament when Jesus came for Israel. He didn't come for the Gentiles. He came for Israel first. It's a firstborn blessing. But we as Gentiles, we've positioned ourselves for the firstborn blessing. God likes to give the second, the one that doesn't deserve it, the one that's not qualified, but the one that would dare to say, but I want it. And I think about that woman who comes to Jesus and he's sitting there and she's nagging, 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 nagging. Would you Pray for my child. Would you heal my child? And he says, you know, get away from me. You know, the blessing of Israel basically is not for you. You're one of those little dogs or whatever. And she says these profound words, but even the dogs get the little crumbs from the master's table. And he says, oh, woman, such is your faith. That to me is a Jacob. That to me is someone who doesn't deserve it. Someone who's not qualified, but is daring enough to say, I want it. And realizing that God is so good. His heart is so large. His love is so vast that he would say, yes, I'm going to give it to you. Great is your faith. That's us today. And as Jacob wrestles with God, won't let him go, he gets a transformation. He was once Jacob, once the supplanter, once the second born. And now, in fulfillment of God's word, God says, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to declare over you, you are a man that is the father of a multitude. This is what God's got for us, Planet Shakers. Firstborn blessing. Firstborn favor. Firstborn multiplication. Firstborn. He wants to change our name today. I don't know where you're sitting right now. I don't know what your mentality is. I don't know what you've succumbed to in this season. But today, as we ask the Lord and as we wrestle with Him, He is going to do a transformation in us. You know, the last however many years here at Planet Shakers have been awesome. And even though we've gone through lockdown, I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that as we step forward into this new season, we are going to see the nations come out of us. We are going to see our city run to Jesus. We are going to see our nation run to Jesus. We are going to see the nations of the world turn to Jesus because of who our God is. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God who will take your name and take your destiny and turn it around for His good and turn it around and blow your mind. Free of every limitation. That's how good He is. He doesn't want you in the limitation. He doesn't want you in yesterday's blessing. He doesn't want you there. He wants you in that firstborn blessing. He wants you to be so fruitful, so multiplied, so blessed that all the ends of the earth will be blessed because of you. Oh, come on, Planet Shakers. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord, pour out your spirit on us. Come on, Lord, pour it out, God. Wrestle with God for a little while. Let's ask Him. Come on, we need a turnaround in our families. We need a turnaround in our businesses. We need a turnaround in our future. We need a turnaround in our church to meet and come back to normal in the name of Jesus.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?